everyone. Welcome again to Heart to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. God is good, and His mercy endures forever. Brother Horton would say His chesed would endures forever. That means everything. God loves us so much. He cares about every part of our lives. Every part of our lives. And that's a blessing, a tremendous blessing. Every time He give us instruction, every time He give us wisdom, counsel, might. You know, the Lord will give you might too. But every time He do these things, the fear of the Lord, all the seven manifestations of the Holy Spirit, they are to our favor and benefit. And when we see God face to face, we're going to know everything. We'll have a comparison to compare to. What I mean by everything, we'll see things as they really are, a true picture. We'll have a reference of His love. And we begin to see that at the new birth. And as we relate to the Lord, there's no substitution for relating to the Lord. Because Daniel said, they that do know the Lord will be strong and do exploits. It's not always those that are most educated. It's not those who are not well known. That doesn't have anything to do with it. It's, do you know Him? Relating to Him. And that's very important. That's very important. And I say that because I have received some comparisons. When you learn the truth, you can't go back to not knowing the truth unless you let it slip. Once God showed me something, you know, I was settled in my own routine, so to speak. I was settled in my own thoughts and persuasions until the Lord gave more light. And when He gave more light, I saw things, I had to see things in a greater way. And I had to process it. And the Holy Spirit will help you process it as long as you're in faith. He'll help you process it. And then I ask questions so that I can, I can grow into it. We grow into revelation. We receive the revelation, then we grow into it. And it helps us to divide unsanctioned word of God, it helps us to get rid of deception and receive more light. When people receive deception, they are settled in it. But when the Lord show you the truth of things, you have to learn to reference it and put it where it goes, and it works. And this happens along our lives, along the course of our lives. And it's just like we have a true reference of this, because we were all born into this world. And everything seems okay to a child, and the parents show us what the dangers are. You know, babies want to, they might want to grab a bumblebee. That's a pretty little insect. It's curious. You know, you want to grab at it. And parents say, no, that'll sting you. And you learn not to. One day you get stung. You know why they said, leave it alone. So it is in life. You know, if a child falls in an ant bed, for instance, you tell them not to go near it. But they don't have a reference for why until they get bit by those ants. Then they know, leave that alone. And then the good things of God, when God show you things that you've been missing out on, and you can be cautious at first, just like with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. People were taught not that that went out with the apostles, and you don't have to. And they convinced, you can't tell them no different. They know something now. And you know, my pastor said this and he said that, and that's just the way it is. Until somebody close to them receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit and start operating in wisdom beyond their years. And they live a consistent godly life. And then they hear testimonies on TV and radio, and then they start saying, hey, something's wrong with the doctrine I received. And this goes on and on forever. Once we come to new knowledge, We have to receive it, and that's the truth, and we walk in it. And then we can get to know Lord in greater areas. Now, some people, they don't believe in speaking in tongues and or healing, but they believe him enough to go out and get people saved. And they believe him in some in ways that God can still use them. But there are greater glories they haven't entered into. And but when we get to know the Lord, we can proceed forward. In our personal life, if we trust him with our personal life, he'll teach us what to watch out for. And then he'll give us insights and help us know things, and it'll make sense to you. It won't be foggy anymore. It'll be clear. And when you continue to know him, when everything gets turned off, when you're in a situation, I'm not talking about lights or anything. I'm talking about when doors close against you and things happen that you didn't expect. Just like with Job, everything started going wrong one after another. Everywhere he went, things were going wrong. And that's an extreme. But if something like that happens and you know the Lord, you're steadfast and unmovable, unchangeable, and you can still grow, even when you don't know what's going on, because you have a relationship with the Lord. And then when he begins to speak, you're receptive. At the end of Job, when God started speaking out of that whirlwind, Job was very receptive. He started seeing things that he didn't see before. And then the Lord showed him what happened all along. And he passed the test, the ultimate test of time. He shamed Satan, because Satan, as proud as he is with his peacock feathers, and he said he's going to take over heaven, he couldn't make a man curse God and die before heaven. And this man never saw God's face and never left God's side. So when we know the Lord, we can be strong and do exploits, even when we don't know things that others may know. When you know the Lord, you know his character. You know, sometimes you may not know the scriptures, you may not know the facts, you may be unclear, but you know the character of God. My pastor once talked it, and you know this is right, that's wrong over there, and you know what to avoid. You can trust God when he say do something, you do it. Now, When I first began talking about knowing the Lord, knowing his voice, knowing that he has your back, the Lord reminded me of something that Henry Groover said. Now, this is found in the Sheep and Goat Nations. I think that's the one I heard this in. And he gave a reference of people that will listen and people that won't. In Germany, when America dropped those bombs that burned up Berlin, I think it was Berlin, they put a lot of leaflets out first, letting people know to move because they're going to bomb this area. They didn't want to kill civilians. They just wanted to stop the army. So the Germans blocked the roads, and they were going to let the military leave. Well, before that happened, the Pentecostal preachers in Germany, and there were some Pentecostal preachers in Germany, and the Lord told the people to leave. He said, sell everything you got and leave, because this place is going to be, it's going to be on fire. It's going to be bombed and it's going to be on fire. Sell everything you can and leave. And some people, the wisest people, did so. And then, but a lot of them stayed. Then he said, he told them again, you know, leave the city, leave now. And some of them still stayed. And then the day that the bombing happened, the Lord said, don't go back home, leave the city now. Don't carry anything with you. And some people tried to carry things. Well, when the city was on fire, guess what fire needs? Oxygen. I'm a mechanic, and I didn't know this would happen. I remember seeing some things on the History Channel how they study fire and how it feeds, and a fire of that magnitude, it's like a vacuum. It's sucking oxygen to itself, and it was pulling people's possessions out of their hands. People that were closer to it got sucked into it. And some people barely made it with their lives. Now, Henry Gruver met two men from that city. And they were both Pentecostal. Their parents were Pentecostal. And they didn't leave in time. He met one in New York and another one, I think he said, somewhere else. But he had two witnesses of this. You know, I believe the Lord do things to always have a witness so somebody can share this. Now, if everybody had left, I wouldn't be telling you this. And I didn't even know this could happen, just like they didn't either. But we got two witnesses. So this is a fact. And it came from a man of God, a man of integrity. A man that's guided by the Holy Spirit. This happened. So when the Lord give you direction and intelligence, if that's His part, it's your part to leave. Now, when the Lord wants me to do something, if that's something important for me to know or do, He tell me things to get me in faith. Now, the Lord don't normally speak in repetition to me. Unless He's training me. If I'm not in faith, He'll stop. I've never known Him to speak repetitiously if I was in doubt. But if I'm in faith, you know, He'll speak repetitiously. Before I did this website, He told me that many people would want to listen to me. I had to receive that revelation first. He did this for 3 years. I said, something's going on. You know, every day He would say things like that. People are going to want to hear you. And I wasn't used to that. Most people don't. Well, some do. I knew that. They always sound that will. But he kept saying, many, 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 many would want to hear you. I said, how you going to? I thought they were going to come to me personally. I didn't know that it would be through this website. But I had to have that revelation because I can't see the people that hear the broadcast. And I like it that way. I don't mind speaking to an auditorium of people. But what I'm saying is, I like the way God set this up to reach millions of people. And I enjoy it. And I don't really know the numbers except for what the Lord tells me. But I thank God for all of them. I thank God for this ministry. But nevertheless, I want God to do things, you know, that I want to be on point with whatever He wants me to do. So it's important to me to do all that's in His heart. That's my confession. I don't want to do all that's in my heart. I want to do all that's in His heart. That's greater. And I want His word to be in my heart. I do want to do what's the word of God that's in my heart. But I want to make sure I do all that's in His heart because I trust Him. And I get to know Him better as I obey Him. See, trust is a noun. It's not a verb. It doesn't do anything. Faith is a definer. It changes the facts on the ground where you are. It changes the facts. That's how God, that's how we access the promises of God to change the problems that do exist and to bring in healing or anything we need or desire. It's by faith. Our faith of salvation is always on. It's an active force. We believe the blood that Jesus' blood that we washed away our sins, and we always believe it. So our faith is always in action. It's always on. It's a verb. But when you believe something, you're trusting God at face value. If you trust God, you believe Him because of the past. And you got to have all of it. You got to be, in order to completely follow God, you have to be able to take him at face value. And sometimes you have to believe him because of the past. When things are a challenge, and you know God was good then, his word was, he kept his word then, he'll keep his word in the future. So you trust that he will because of the past. If you believe God, you believe he'll keep his word, and everything he's saying to you will come to pass. You're taking him, if you believe him without the past, that's believing. And if you believe him because of the past, that's trust. But when you act on your trust or belief or your belief in him, that's faith. Whether it's believing or trusting, once you act on it, the trust or the believing becomes faith, because faith is a verb. Trust and believing is like a chair. You know, you can sit in that chair. You're not doing anything. You're at rest when you trust God. You know that he's going to do your part. All you have to do is do your part. You know he's going to do his part. All you have to do is do your part. And you know that it's going to be successful. It may not be successful in your mind, in the way you process success, but it'll be perfect for what God is doing. And you might even get to see the finished result. But whether you get to see the finished result or not, you know it's going to turn out right. Just like Isaiah, he didn't get to see the things that the disciples saw, but he prophesied. He laid the foundation. And then it happened. He saw it later, not in his lifetime, but in heaven he saw it come to pass, and the fruits of it. Everybody to go to heaven are the fruits and rewards of his obedience, setting the stage for Christ to come. Now, when we know the Lord, we can do things we normally couldn't do. We can do more than we are able to do. We don't have to worry about organizing every little detail. We just do what God, we put in motion what God tell us to put in motion. And he'll do his part. My pastor said that there's a man, a God with side and a man with side. And it is. But you can't worry about the Godward side. You got to do your part. What is my wisdom, Lord, in this? How do I do it? And he'll reveal it to you over time, too. You have to trust. I had to trust and obey God in stages for this ministry to work and turn out like it did. Other people gave revelation that pertained to it. And that, you know, when God uses other people to confirm what he said to you, you know that it's true. Just like the two men that gave the same testimony that Henry Groover met. When that fire sucked the possessions out of people's hands, and sometimes people got sucked into the fire because they didn't leave in time. And these were Christian people. They didn't leave. They should have left when God told them to. But everybody that survived, they suffered. They lost their houses. They didn't get anything for it. They lost their possessions. You know, they didn't use the wisdom of God. They could have sold the house and then they would have had money to buy another one. Or they could have sold it real cheap and had something. But they lost everything in that fire. So, if they ended up with their lives, they were used to give us a testimony of when it's time to leave. If you know the Lord and he tell you to do something, you'll do it. But if you're not sure that it was him, you don't know him. But if you spend time with him, when he speaks, you'll know him. It's not hard. There's no substitution for knowing God. You got to go in his presence and get the facts, get understanding. Studying the word is studying the word. It will assist you in your relationship, but you still got to draw near. If you study the word like you should, you're more apt to go and pray things through. And when you pray and you're seeking the Lord and he's talking to you and referencing things to you and showing you things you need to know as a way of life, then when an emergency happens, you'll know when to leave. Now, Henry Grover had the prayer walk in many cities. There were cities on the coastlines of America the Lord told him not to prayer walk. And I know two of them, but I'm not going to say it. But the cities that the Lord told him not to prayer walk, he set those cities up for judgment. And it's going to be God has to judge sin, and he couldn't even prayer walk those cities. When the bombing or the earthquake happens, the Lord's going to tell his people to leave in time. A lot of people are leaving California now. And some of them are probably leaving because God told them to. I'll just leave it at that. But some people don't, they know of God. They're in covenant with God, but they're hard-headed. They won't listen. When the Holy Spirit speaks, they don't always agree in obeying. Sometimes your life can depend on your obedience to God and knowing him. So when strong delusion comes, people that don't know the Lord, and the Lord been telling me this repetitiously, that people that don't know his word, that the word's not in them, they're going to be devastated. They're not going to know what to do. And they're going to fold. But people that know the word, that have his word, they can survive what's about to happen. And he talked about the rapture often. He said he's going to take his people abruptly. And I've never been raptured before. And I always think about doing God's will here. And I always kept the rapture off in the future till the Lord started talking about it repetitiously. And I'm not one of those that can't wait to get out of here, because I like my life. And I want to be useful every day as long as I can till the moment that God comes. When he come back, he'll probably catch me working on a car or doing one of these broadcasts. I'm not going to stop. I'm not going to sit around twiddling my thumbs waiting on the rapture. Because every day, there were times I thought that the rapture would come years ago. And I used to say, I wonder, will I get to sleep in my own bed tonight? And yet here I am, I'm still here. The Lord tells us things in time so that we can have the urgency to prepare others. There's wisdom in all that God do. He wants us to be aware. See, we're going to see it. This is the generation that will see it. I believe I can say that. And things are lining up. Things are happening fast. Faster and faster. Things are happening faster and faster. And I believe in occupy until Jesus comes. I taught my children. I said, Lord, he'll probably come within 5 or 10 years, but go through college. Do what you're supposed to do. Do everything you're supposed to do as if it's going to be another 100. I said, then when it comes, he comes. One of my daughters, she's studying to be a doctor, and she has a plan. She's going to be a nurse first and then finish in medical school. I said, if the Lord comes and take you to heaven before you finish school and get a chance to work, I believe he'll reward you for being faithful in this stage of your life. I said, keep going. You got to go forward. We don't sit around and wait. That's disobedience, to sit around and wait for the rapture. We're supposed to expect it. And we're supposed to go forward doing the things of God, being a blessing to all we can be a blessing to, praying for people, occupying until he come. When you see needs, then at least you can pray for people. And you can do, there are things you can do to be a blessing everywhere you go. Jesus went about doing good. We can go about doing good. And if you practice his word, it gets easier. But as we know him, we can do things in a multiplied way, because God is going to help us. Now, I believe that when God brings things to our attention, get a hold of it. You know, confess it, speak it, let it be part, and if you stay in faith about it with the intent to do it, God, he'll give you confirmations. But when people slow down, and when they don't receive what God is saying, they let it slip, and then they go right back to what they're comfortable with. And I see too many Christians, it seems like they keep doing that more than they go forward in the things of God. And it saddens me when people can go forward and don't. They hear the word, they hear good word, they hear the pastors do their jobs, and then people don't excel like they can. Now, some people are outstanding. They're going to do it no matter what, no matter who does what, they're going to excel because they're sincere and they love God. But when I see Christians, you know, learn about authority and never use it, I get sad about it, because they're wasting a tremendous gift that God has given us. Everything that from authority, the word, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, spiritual gifts, even the fruits of the Spirit, this is a grace to us. If God used me to preach a message and millions of people get saved, and I know it, I thank God for it. But I believe that anybody can do that. It's a grace. If he give you all the spiritual gifts and all the fruits, and we have all the fruits of the Spirit, but if all the fruit, the gifts of the Spirit is operating in your life mightily, and you start a revival, and it can happen. But even if it does, I can't brag on it, because I didn't give myself the spiritual gifts. I didn't give myself the fruits of the Spirit. I didn't give myself salvation in the first place. I didn't even give myself my own life. I was conceived, God blessed, God made me. Then he put up with me. Then he saved me. Then he worked with me. He trained me. Then he gave me gifts that I can't earn. He gave me wisdom that I couldn't give myself. All knowledge comes from God ultimately. So everything that God gave me to work with is a gift, a grace. And if I yield to the Holy Spirit, I can expect the best. But I can't brag on it. I can't brag on any of it. I look at my life as an extension of God's hand. God told me when he called me to the ministry, he said, "Behold, you are my child. I have chosen you, and you shall be a vessel of honor." And I felt apprehensive, and I felt inadequate. And I felt like, I don't know what to do. God gave me something, and I don't know how to use it. It's just like if somebody gave me a brand new $1 billion airplane. I look at it, but I don't know how to fly it. You know, I say, wow, I wouldn't even know where to sell it. So when he gave me the ministry, I said, well, I don't know what to do. I felt all kind of ways. Until he said, follow me. Then I said, well, the pressure's off now. I still wanted to, before I told my pastor, I wanted to know something about my ministry. So I got a confirmation, which was the same thing, follow me. And I went on a fast to know more about it. I talked about this in the previous broadcast, but I'll say it again. I went on a fast, and I got to have something more to go on than just tell the pastor I'm a preacher. I want to know what I am. And then the guys on the radio, Jim, Ron, and Herb, was on the radio back in the 80s. And one of them got called to the ministry. And he said, I'm going to write down everything I want you to do for me, Lord, if I'm going to do this. And I'm going to write down all that you expect, and then I'm going to sign the page. So he wrote down all the things he wanted God to do for him. And then he was going to write down. And then he said, well, Lord, what do you want me to write down that you want me to do? My responsibility to you. And the Lord said, get out another sheet of paper. And he did. He said, now sign the bottom. The Lord told him to sign his name on the bottom of the page. And he did. He said, now I'll fill out the blanks.